wanted the best, you've got the best podcast. The hottest podcast in the world. The Chris Voss Show, the preeminent podcast with guests so smart you may experience serious brain bleed. The CEOs, authors, thought leaders, visionaries, and motivators. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the vehicle at all times, because you're about to go on a monster education roller coaster with your brain. Now, here's your host, Chris Voss.
Hi, folks. It's Voss here from thechrisvossshow.com. There you go. If you weren't awake before it, you certainly will be when she says it. Then our lady sings it. So welcome to the big show, my family and friends. We certainly appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, the Chris Voss Show is the family that loves you but doesn't judge you. That's really the best kind of family you can have, the non-judgy kind, because I think we all have someone in our family who judges us and all that good stuff. Some people have judges that judge them, so I'm still waiting to get my fifth ankle bracelet off today as soon as I get approval, but there's still four left on there. I don't know why. I like that joke. It just sounds funny. Have you ever met anybody who has multiple ankle bracelets from the court? That might be interesting. I mean, I saw the other day someone who had one on, they were washing their car, and it was a funny meme. But anyway, I really don't have ankle bracelets, folks. That's just a joke. I hope everyone gets that. They're like, he's spent a lot of time in prison. Not yet. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. As always, we have the most brilliant authors, the best minds on the show, the CEOs, the billionaires, the White House presidential advisors, the Pulitzer Prize winners, the great authors and minds share their stories of life and help you with the owner's manual and how to make your life better. And if you don't learn how to make your life better listening to the Chris Voss Show, there's really something wrong with you. I don't know why I'm shaming my audience at this point, but what the hell. But I got to tell you guys, I sit here, we go through, what is it, almost 2,000 episodes, 2 or 3 shows a weekday. I learn stuff every day. And you'd think I'd maybe heard it all at this point from all the brilliant people I have on the show. I learn new perspectives, new paradigm shifts. I learn everything from every guest we have on the show. So if you're not doing it, you can go back and listen to every damn show over and over again until you do. Or else. I don't know what the hell that means. Now I'm threatening my audience. Anyway, guys, we have an amazing gentleman on the show with us today. He's going to be talking to us about his insights of his life journey, et cetera, et cetera. And you're going to learn some great stuff from him. Charles Paul Collins joins us on the show. He's got an upcoming book coming out called Life Crafting, A Way of Thinking, Working, and Living, A Master's Journal. See what I told you? I told you that we have people on that help make your life better. And I like this term, life crafting. It certainly beats what I do, just life living under the dock down by the river in a van. There you go. He also has the book you can find on Amazon that is currently out now. It's called Your Life Curriculum. Your Life Curriculum. What you learn makes you who you are. Part of the Life Crafting editions. Welcome to the show, Charles. How are you?
I'm great today, Chris. Thanks. Big fan.
And thank you.
Very, very happy to be here.
Big fan, first time caller, first time guest. There you go. Charles, give us a .com. Where do you want people to find you on the interwebs?
I would say CharlesPaulCollins.com. My name all strung together. That'll give them the whole can of worms. And LifeCraftingMasterclass.com will be another part that they might find interesting.
There you go. And you have a Udemy course too. Do you want to give that a plug? Do you know the URL?
Yeah, that's at the LifeCraftingMasterclass.com. We'll drop them right there at the Udemy front page.
There you go. And so give us a 30,000 overview, this new book you're working on that comes out later this year, Life Crafting.
Yeah, the Life Crafting Master's Journal that'll be coming out later this year is about a 35-year work that is coming to its kind of final fruition here. And it's basically comes off the idea that started 35 years ago when I started thinking about some sort of a curriculum for my daughter. I was just a little kid, 6 years old, looking at her, wondering what she needed to learn and thinking about all the things she was learning in school. And it started spinning around in my head that, if she had some kind of a little structure around things to learn rather than just bumping into them randomly, in the kitchen and wherever else it's going to happen, And that's kind of what got this whole thing going. And so over that 35-year period, not only did I create that first little book for her, Your Life Curriculum, which is on Amazon, but it led me down a journey that basically what I started to understand was probably the most universal thing I have found anywhere in the world that makes people happy and brings them pride is when they do something very well, high quality work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just makes us glow. And what I started to realize is that where we learn to do that more than any place else is in our trades, occupations, and professions, in our jobs and our workshops, because we learn the skills to do something well. We eventually end up becoming a master in that particular thing. And that's how this master's journal, the master's guide that you just spoke about, is coming up.
There you go. And I like the topic of life crafting. You know, I had an epiphany when I was young. And back then, you would have the Sears and JCPenney catalogs that would be sent to you. And of course, you know, you had these voluminous phone books as well. And I remember looking through them, and I remember thinking to myself, you know, life is kind of like, at the time, I had grown up in a cult. I was looking at, I knew it was full of shit from 3 years old, but I was looking at all these various things in life. I was thinking, why do these people believe this? Why do these people believe that? Why is that guy's journey this through life and this guy's journey over here is this through life? Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? How come there's so many different ways to do life, and what is it all about? You know, there's the hippie guy, and then there's the guy in a suit over here. You know, there's so many different variations of how people go through life, and you know, I don't know, what am I supposed to choose? You know, it was kind of that teenager dumb of like, where you're like, there's a lot of shit going on here in this life thing, and I don't know where to start, right? You know, and I remember looking through the catalog, and it occurred to me that life is like a giant catalog, and that you can choose the journey you want to go on, or you can try to choose the journey that you want to go on, and some of it's already set in stone by the way you're going, but from there you can choose where you want to do and how you want to go. Maybe you want to, you know, choose the hippie route, choose the suit route, you can choose your degree, and I really started thinking about understanding, you know, okay, so what does the design of my life want to be? And a lot of people don't really think about that. They just kind of accept whatever social constructs give them and say, you know, what are you supposed to do? I don't know, go to college. What are you supposed to do now? Get married. What are you supposed to do now? Get a job, you know. And then they wake up in midlife crisis and they go, I don't know, I didn't really think I wanted to choose what I chose without thinking that I chose. And so life crafting seems like a whole much better way to think of things, especially from early on.
It's exact. I mean, you're part of the book. Everything that you just talked about actually is contained within the master's guide. But it really comes down to your first beautiful observation was the catalog concept, and that's exactly how it happens for most of us. Everybody's probably familiar with one. If you go back in your life and think about something you did well, it could be a hobby, it could be a profession, it could be anything. Think about how long it took you, the thousands of hours of observation, then practice, then incremental improvement. And all of a sudden, you started getting really proud of yourself with the skills you were building. And you started getting recognition from others around you with regard to those skills. A great many of us can self-teach certain things, but for a lot of things in life, we have to go through more of a formalized training, as you said, a school of practice, wherein to learn something particular. And if we look at those schools, they're all based on catalogs and curriculum. And you can see, here's year one learning, here's year two, year three, year four. It's gradual, it's graduated. And eventually, when you leave the apprenticeship phase, you go on to your journey work in life and your trade, your profession. So this is fundamentally the concept that life crafting is a neutral framework that says wherever you are, wherever you come from, whatever your worldview, every day of your life, most of the time unknowingly, you've been crafting bits and pieces of yourself little by little by little to try to eventually make a masterpiece of your life what you envision it to be. However, if you don't have a catalog with some kind of a structure as to where all the things you're learning falls into, then chances are you're patchworking it together. You have a collage as a life rather than the masterpiece you had envisioned. So back to you.
There you go. That's what happened to me. I just ended up covered in paint pretty much. This is my masterpiece. Why is all the paint on the floor and it's so covered in me? And I don't know, someone had a seizure or something on the canvas. I don't know what this is, but that's the way I do art. But no, I mean, a lot of people just don't think about it. They just, you know, they do what their parents tell them and they wake up with enormous college debts and doing something they don't want. I mean, there was somebody we had on the podcast in the last few days or recently who went to college and spent a lot of money in their parents' interest to be an attorney. And they got to be an attorney and they went, I don't like this. And then they went to be a teacher, which really didn't make their parents happy because there's no money in that. And then they eventually found their way to venture capitalism, which is kind of, they ended up in the money in the end. But it was their journey. They wanted to find what motivated them. And now they've gone from being a venture capitalist back to being a teacher in a way, in what they're doing, writing books and teaching and speaking and stuff. And so, you know, it's this journey, this yin and yang. You know, I've met CEOs that I always use the joke that they studied ballet in college and now they're powerful CEOs. Usually it's like liberal arts. Like I've had a couple CEOs tell me that studying liberal arts in school actually helped them be better CEOs. And you're like, really? An MBA didn't help you be a CEO? You didn't get an MBA? You learned about, I don't know, liberal arts? And they're like, yeah, understanding people, human nature, you know, things of that stuff that you can learn. And so do you have an anticipated date for the book to come out yet?
So it's the manuscript is complete, but there's that whole editing process. You know how this goes. So it's expected before the end of the year, before December 31st.
There you go. You gotta get the editing. Editing's really important. It actually is. It's a pain in the butt. It's evil sometimes because, you know, they throw out a lot of your stuff. Or they're just like, yeah, that was really cute what you wrote. Yeah, we threw it on the cutting room floor. No, write something else. But, and you know, they take your little passion you wrote and they just cut it up and dice it in front of you. And you're just like, that was the work of love. And I carried that child for 9 months. But I like the idea of giving someone young, like what you gave to your daughter, the advantage of being able to understand that paradigm at first, because I don't think, you know, so many, I don't know that most parents, I don't know what parents think, but you know, they work in the same sort of paradigms. So, you know, I wouldn't go get a job, so go get a job. I mean, I'd beat my kids if they went and got jobs instead of creating their own companies. And I teach them how to do their own companies. I wouldn't beat them. I'm just kidding, people. Don't write me. And but I wouldn't be very happy. Let's put it that way. And so teaching kids at a very young age, you know, the opportunities they have and the abilities to be self-actualized and self-accountable, you know, nothing like running a company or starting a company or starting a business. That will change you and make you grow up pretty fast. And I'm always jealous. I mean, I started my first company at 18, didn't even understand what I was doing. And I see young people now that can start businesses very easily on the internet. And it just makes such a difference in their lives. And, you know, telling people to just go do what's in lockstep of everything else. I don't know. I was someone who has always been able to figure stuff out. I've always had some weird thing. I think it's because I grew up in a cult and it was a survival mechanism and an oppressive cult at that. And so for me, it was a survival mechanism to figure out how to get out of everything. And but a lot of people, And but I did do my own studies. I studied my own. I basically gave myself my own MBA through Harvard by reading what I wanted to and focusing on the education that I knew I needed. But you know, I never had to go to college, and I seem to be able to figure out things differently than most people and see outside the box. And so I have some sort of trick pony in my head. But I also understand that a lot of people, you know, they need college, they need formal education, they need somebody to tell them to sit down and shut up and listen. For me, that doesn't work very well. But you know, that's part of the kaleidoscope of, if you will, of, you know, the catalog, where you can kind of figure out what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, and you can craft the life that you want to take and do. How's that?
That's it. Whether you acquired knowledge from, as you did, from institutions, authors who had a particular area of expertise that you wanted to learn, mm-hmm. or whether you entered into a formal school of practice, you know, with a, that gave you the degree and so forth and so on. At the end of the day, your first step, which is the first book, is that is your life curriculum. Mm. All those individual pieces that you were learning, whether you learned them in an ad hoc fashion or whether you learned them within a structured school of practice, the things you are drawn to and the things that you then spend the time to learn, but not only learn, practice to see if you can affect, achieve a result from what you've learned. Mm-hmm. What you learn is what makes you who you are over time, and you continue mm-hmm. to add on to your life.
I like you. That should be in a coffee cup or a shirt. Give me that again. You are what you learn.
Or yeah, it's that what you learn. It basically is who you are. It's the subtitle of your life curriculum, that book, that particular book on Amazon.
I like that because that's right. It is, isn't it? I like that because that's why it's important to keep learning, right? Mm-hmm. And not just, you know, so many people, they cut off their education. So, you know, they don't read a book after college, or if they do, they're reading, I don't know, something mind-numbing. You know, I people always ask me, they go, why are you always out and about doing stuff? And I'm like, I don't know, I can't sit home and watch Netflix. My brain will just melt.
Mine too.
And I'd just rather be out, you know, and hey, if you like that, I realize a lot of people do that because the kids want to watch it, and you've got kids, and, you know, trotting them out around the universe is a little expensive these days. But, and kids use movies actually on repeat to master stuff, so there's some help there. But, you know, I have a problem going to movies. Like, I went and saw Akira Kurosawa's High and Low again, and I was having a problem because it's a 2.5-hour movie. Mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. a long time. I can think of a lot of things I can do. Fortunately, it's such a great movie, I didn't even notice. But it just burned. No, I did notice a little bit. That's right. About 2 hours in, I was like, when's this thing over again? But that's probably my ADHD. But yeah, understanding, you know, looking at life through a paradigm of what I want to choose, what I want to do with my life. You know, this is why I love the Chris Voss show. This is why I love my podcast so much. Because number one, as I always joke about on the show, I'm sick of me. I know everything about me. I've spent 56 years with me, and I'm over it. Like, we've been over it for a while. And so I love to hear other people's stories, other people's journeys. So I'm kind of at the end of the catalog going, oh, so what did you have shipped to you in 1968? And how's it turning out so far? Or how's the journey you're at? And so people are sharing their stories of sometimes how they've been wandering through life, and they've changed different modalities of what they wanted in the catalog and found something that fits them better. But if you can try not to waste half your life trying to doing something that you kind of accepted from the society's paradigms and BS that they just give you and pre-constructs, and you can go, hey, if I want to design my life, what would I do with it? How would I do it differently? I think it's a better approach.
Yeah, and the question is that there's so many, you know, different things out there mm-hmm. that you could do. Sometimes that's the overwhelming part of it. I mean, you know, you could be brought up in one culture where what your folks did is what you do, mm-hmm. or you could be brought up in a culture that there's so many things to do, it becomes overwhelming. But the interesting thing is you just mentioned that your particular life stage where you are right now mm-hmm. in life crafting mm-hmm. as a structure, which follows the ancient principles taught in the workshops, the master workshops for about the last 7,000 years. there are four stages in any trade or craft that you pass through. And each stage has a goal, and each stage has a sign-off point where you say, I'm going to take the test. Did I pass and go on to the next stage? You're in the masterworks phase of your life right now at age 50, 56. So you're in the third phase. Yeah, that's why it's so critical, because the books that's coming out is based on the observations that you are making at this stage in your life. And perhaps you are, and I know you like to write and think and keep things down. Well, you get to mine. I'm in the mentorship. I'm in the fourth stage of my life. And I'm now taking my Masterworks journal, which is from the old workshops, like a Da Vinci and the master passing a journal down to the next trade journeyman. What you're recording now for the next phase in your life, 20 years, is what you're going to be working on when you become my age to leave as a legacy to the next generation.
Wow. Are you sure? Because right now I'm pretty frustrated with the next generation, and I'm just kind of washing my hands of them, and then I'm spraying them with the hose and telling them to get off my lawn. So is it gets better, you're saying?
What I have to say is, first of all, the next generation is your own children. Let's start there. Yeah.
Because I didn't have any. That's the problem, Charles.
You have some now, don't you? Didn't you just say so?
No, I have no children. It's usually all other people's children that I'm.
Oh, that's fine. Because you're already making a legacy. Look at what you're doing with your show, with your program. Look at all the content that you're leaving.
It's a lot of damn content.
But you'll have to boil it down.
Oh, okay.
So this is what the Master's Journal is all about. The new book that's coming out is during this 20 years, when you have the time, you're still got energy, you're still bright enough to keep the lights on and going and striving, and you know, you're itchy every day for something new to develop, whatever. This is the time where you start understanding the purpose of what the Master's Journal is in traditional workshops around the world. It was to leave only those thoughts, ideas, and plans that were the boil down to the next generation of skilled journeymen and journeywomen that were coming up behind you. The Master's Journal would always go to one or several people specially. And from there, because they were mature enough to now take up that knowledge from the Master's Journal, but you don't even start really boiling the Master's Journal down until the last 20 years of your life. So right now, you're creating it. Wait till you get to the editing stage where I'm in right now, and you're going to leave it behind. That is a unique artifact that took a whole life for you to build.
Oh, wow. Well, that should be interesting. I'll look forward to that stage, because then I won't be spraying people on the lawn. The judge says I can't do that anymore. So there you go. You know, it is what it is. So now let's talk a little bit about your Udemy course. Tell us a little bit about that people can check out. What's the website for it again?
Lifecraftingmasterclass.com.
There you go. Masterclass.com. And so people can do the Udemy course. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that's really the combination that I would say that's the deeper explanation or modules that come out of the first book, Your Life Curriculum. Mm-hmm. Your life curriculum basically is the structure. There are five basic pillars that say, if you look in this catalog of life, anything that you want to learn, anything that you will choose to learn, and that's up to you, you're going to be totally surprised to find that it falls into one of these five categories, from family heritage to family and personal finance, and there are five of them. So the first part of the Udemy course is to help people feel comfortable with the idea that, gee whiz, everything I've learned in my life up to now has this simple, comfortable place to put it, the same way you might organize your knowledge or your books in the workshop at your workbench when you go into work every day.
There you go. I like that. So the stages of life and putting it together. You know, it's hard when people start out in life trying to figure it all out. I've seen my nephew go through it where he's like, what is all this stuff that I got to do? And I'm like, just find something you're good at. You know, one of the things that the Europeans do or British do that's different than America is America, they put you through school and they just throw everything at you to see what sticks. Mm-hmm. And over there, they do something very different. Early on, they start figuring out what you're pretty good at or kind of what you tend to lean towards and maybe what would be your thing. You know, there's certain people that are really good with working with their hands. They're just really good at it. I'm astounded by the creativity and the power that people can do. You know, I see someone like, you know, build a deck, you know, and they're like, hey, I've got this image in my head, or, you know, artwork or something, and boom, they can make that work. I have none of that ability whatsoever. And so they very early kind of figure out where you fit in the word and in the context of trades and work that might be best suited for you based upon your skill set that they're kind of sensing early on. And I think that's really good, because early on, you know, you're figuring out, you know, this is kind of what I'm good at. You're getting geared in, where the American system just kind of throws everything at you and you're just like, what do I do with all this noise? And I hate all of it. And you really aren't focused on anything by the time you see these people, they change their college degree major, you know, five times during their college years.
That what you bring up is a central part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Which is that a significant amount of time in the cultures of the world have been spent, for important reasons, pointing someone toward a trade, a vocation, or an occupation whereby they can make a living for themselves in their life going forward and feed their family and survive and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And that particular focus of humanity has what has created the workshops of the world, the factories of the world, the businesses of the world, to focus someone's attention in on a body of knowledge, a set of skills, whether it's a mind craft or a handcraft. This is where we're pointed to learn. However, if, and this is a big problem, the child coming up is not presented with the idea that there are several other parts of themselves that have to be crafted with equal skill and care, such as your inner being, emotions, and so forth, and your outer being, how you are physically, family, how you manage your family, how you participate in your family. How many people go to crafts, make $1 million, or they are raised up to be, you know, a master of such and such a craft, and their family life and their personal life is a disaster, and they're not balanced, meaning their life is not a masterpiece. Their profession work might be, but the rest of their life is a disaster.
Yeah, it's true. You see a lot of people like that. I went through that with my life, where I grew up poor, and I was like, hey, if I get all the rich stuff, if I get some money and get all the nice things, I'll be happy, and everything will be fixed. And when I got there, I was like, wait, this is, I thought everything was going to be fixed. It's actually now worse.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and this is good, and this is where the Udemy class goes to. It takes you into the first part of it is, here are the five categories that everything that you want to learn and will learn in your life fall into. So your workshop is not a mess anymore. In fact, you've been crafting your life all along, but now you're going to live your life in four stages. And just like in a master's workshop, each stage, you progressively will get better. And there are things to learn at each stage. And then you become a master. And then finally, you're on to becoming a mentor. And if you see your life as a continuum of 80 years in front of you with a distinct set of developmental stages, like you do in a trade or craft for thousands of years, your life has a purpose all the way to the end of your days, and you're just not doing the midlife crisis that you spoke about at the opening of the show.
Yeah. When I saw that as a kid, I started studying at about 11 or 12, trying to figure out what this midlife crisis was. I was trying to figure out why people were unhappy, this midlife crisis thing. And I'm like, you know, and I would hear stuff, you know, some guy who's decided to abandon his family, go get a red car and you know, date some Victoria's Secret model and run around in a red convertible. You know, and I would hear, why does a guy decide to do that? I'd try and figure out all this data that was being thrown at me and belief systems that were usually debunkable. But I was like, God, it seems like a really bad idea to live half your life on autopilot and then wake up one day and go, that was a waste of my time. I mean, I'm sure people, you know, if you're, as you said, a craftsman, you know, you hopefully you've learned some lessons from those years. It's not a total throw it in the garbage and forget it with it, set it on fire. Although I know some people that probably should do that, but hopefully you learn some things. And that's the real key, is it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fail. The main thing is you need to learn from them, so you don't just keep doing the same things over and over again.
Yeah, and that gets down to, you said another key word that's part of the class and the life crafting materials that I put out there, which is the concept called the way of craftsmanship.
Oh.
So not only is this based on the model, I probably read close to 500 books on every trade and craft, from mathematics and legislation to building a brick stone wall, and come down to these fundamental principles that no matter what the material is, whether it's a mental material or something you use in your hands, at the end of the day, whatever trade it is that you're going to be going toward, when you approach it in a craftsmanlike manner, and there are very specific steps, anything and everything you do in your life can be done well. And I got to tell you, it comes back to that early single point in the conversation today. Whenever we feel proud of ourselves because we've done something well and others see it, it just lifts us up. And fundamentally, I have to say that I see my kid, the happiest she is when she's proud of herself and when we're proud of her. So how is this thing that's at the center of human existence? It's all based on doing things well, not doing things terribly. And you have to learn how to do them well. So craftsmanship is based on the idea of incremental improvement of your skills and practicing your skills, whatever it is you're going to do, including taking care of your family.
There you go. And I like the aspect of how you approach it, where you're thinking about designing your life and you're giving intentional.
Exactly.
You're giving intent to the design of your life instead of just like, I don't know, we're just flying by our seat of our pants, see how it works out.
That's right out of the book. Flying by the seat of your pants.
I know some people have done that. I've probably been guilty of that in my life. I just found that instead of flying by the seat of your pants, you just fly with no pants. You just go with no pants and everything goes fine. I don't know
what that is. And in the book, it's called Life Success by Design versus Accidental Success that you can never repeat again because you didn't know where it came from.
There you go. And you weren't wearing pants. So this has been very insightful. Anything more you want to tease out about the Udemy course?
You can, as I think we've got in the program, it's lifecraftingmasterclass.com. It's there and it's available. The book, of course, on Amazon, Your Life Curriculum. And then watch that space, because the other book, The Master's Journal, will be available later this year.
There you go. Do we want to talk about, I mean, we may have covered some of your life curriculum and stuff. Do we cover that enough in our conversation here?
If you'd like, absolutely. I mean, my life curriculum, interestingly enough, is just like anyone and everyone else until I hit about age 33. Mm-hmm. And I had a kid come into the kitchen one day, which was mine. And she said, "Hey, Dad, you know, what's my life all about?" And I said, "Are you kidding me? You know, how do I answer this question?" I mean, what do you do, Chris? I don't know.
That's a loaded question.
Do you punt? I mean, do you? Like, and
go,
so my
go talk to your mom.
But most people, you know, I had gone to college and, you know, communication school in Boston, Emerson, and I had done writing and speech and communications and, you know, many things. Lived outside the country for, you know, many years in Mexico City. And then eventually ended up my job being in basically the workshops of the world. The factories took me all over the world. And I traveled for my business career for almost 30 years. But it was that one day in talking about the life curriculum that I realized in my life curriculum, they'd never taught me how to answer that question for my daughter.
Yeah.
And I thought, I beg your pardon?
I don't think most people know. They might give it like a religious default or something. I don't know.
There it is. We go back to something which is in the life crafting course called Element One, Family and Personal Heritage. that foundational of the five elements, because the whole thing is about how you're crafting you, the human being, how you're crafting it into a masterpiece with skill and with, as you said, focus. This family heritage is the thing we default back onto. It imprints us in such a deep way. And as you've been talking about the different worldviews and some of them and where they came from, and goodness knows, those are the things that we pull out of the reserves of our mind and automatically shoot them out of our mouth when that moment comes when you're reaching for something that you've never been trained for. So you make it up on the fly. Now, sometimes it's good, but many times you think, how did my parents do it? Oh, I don't want to do it that way. Or how did my parents do it? That's the way I'm going to do it. So you get all this mixed bag of answers, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. And that was the other thing I looked at. I'm like, you know, are my parents happy? Like, are you married? You know, I looked at my two grandparents on either side, and I had a really dichotomy, or is it dichotomy? We were in a really opposing situation. Mm-hmm. When one couple was very happy, I mean, for the most part, and the other couple was very unhappy, at least the wife was. And I was like, how come everyone's happy over here and happy over there? But thinking of your life as a master plan, you know, like you're building something. I've always thought of myself as a builder and construction person. And part of it always comes from me building companies. So mm-hmm. I kind of look at life the same way, investing in my life, investing in my relationships. When I talk about investing in relationships, like people's eyes glaze over there. And just like, you think of me as an investment and you're like, yeah, I mean, I'm spending time with you. I'm spending money on you. I'm master planning a life for us. Yeah, it's an investment. We're not just, I don't know, sitting around and playing hide the weasel or something. I don't know what that means. But, you know, having a master plan and choosing the people that you have in your life as well. You know, I mean, when I date, I look at people and I go, do I want to invest in this? I'm sure they do the same. Women are usually innate to do that. But, you know, is this the person I want to spend the rest of my life with? Is this the one I want to do an investment with? Or does this vehicle seem a little off the rails, off the, it seems like it's got some bad engines and some bad parts. Do I really want to spend the rest of my life trying to fix this thing up, this old jalopy, which is where I'm at now. I'm an old jalopy, but think of your life as an investment. Think of what you're doing as an investment, what you're designing to be a builder. You know, this is your life, you know. You're the one who's got to live with it. Fuck what other people think. You're the one who's got to live with it. So you might as well do the work and make it what you want, I suppose.
You know, and you can actually be thrilled and filled with pride when you're doing the work if you have the fundamental understanding before you begin that if I apply skill to this and walk through it in a workmanlike, craftsmanlike manner, it doesn't mean that it's, you know, machine tools and everything else. It's intention. You know, think anybody who's out there, think about, you know, if you've ever cooked something and that was that particular time in the year or whatever it was that you are going to try yourself to cook a meal that you are not only proud of, but you wanted to present to family members at a holiday or something like that. Think about all the time that you went to do. Every piece of that was crafting, was craft work. It was intentional. It was with focus. But don't ask if you didn't have a great time when you were doing it, and even a better time when if it came out well and you were doing it at the end. Why can't your life be that way, the human being, mm-hmm. right? So you're looking at relationships. Why can't you approach them skillfully? Yep. Versus ad hoc, fly by the seat of your pants, and walk away feeling, geez, 3 out of 4 times I've been out with somebody, I have a bad time because it's them or it's me. Wait a minute. Is it a skill that can be learned? And if it is, think about learning it.
There you go. Or a skill at identifying, you know, red flags.
Well, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had someone recently that threw me a curveball that was like, you know, I have some issues that are unresolved. And I was like, have you seen those issues and got them resolved? No, I haven't. And they got upset when I asked this simple question. And I'm like, clearly you don't have these issues resolved. And I'm not looking to invest in a relationship or spending time in even casual dating when you have these glaring issues that you need to go have fixed. I'm not a therapist. So you need to go find somebody who can fix that, that's a therapist, and then you need to get back in the dating pool and that's done. So this isn't my thing. There were times where I had to look at my life and people that were involved in my life, whether they were friends or business partners or even relationships, where I had to realize that they had issues that they were going to have for life, like addiction, you know, alcohol addiction, drug addiction. And I had to say, is this part of the design of my life, as you put it? Is this how I want to live the rest of my life? Or no, I don't think I want this to be part of the masterpiece, because I don't think it's going to be a very good masterpiece if I bring this person in permanently in my life. And so, you know, that's what you have to think about. You have to think about the investment of your time. You know, one concept that I tell people, and you may talk about this in your book, I'll set it up, but one thing I talk to people about is, you know, we have the ability to make money, but the one thing we can't make is time. Like, I'll have guys that will be flipping about what they're doing with their investment relationships. Like, whatever, you know, if I end up in divorce court, fuck it. And I'm like, that's kind of a shitty attitude, because if you think about it, those wasted years that you spent being with somebody that you just kind of went, whatever, I'll just kind of see how this turns out, is wasted time. You can't get that back. And your time has to be the most valuable investment that you're making, because it's irreplaceable. You know, part of it is, you know, I have like divorce guys say to me, oh, I lost $1 million in the divorce. You know, I knew it was going to be bad, but you know, I don't know, whatever, I can make that money back. It's like, yeah, you can make the money back, but you can't get that time back, dude. You lost the time. And so being flippant and not thinking of your life as an investment and the things you're doing and as an investment, you know, it costs you time. And you need to realize that, because wasting that time is going to make it to where, you know, you're trying to make this masterpiece, whether you're intentional or not about it. And it's probably, I don't know, either never going to get finished or being complete, maybe. I don't know.
That's in the book, absolutely. And it goes back to the principle of the way of craftsmanship, as we've brought it up to your audience. So in the workshops and the traditions of the world for about the last 5,000 or 6,000 years anyway, one of the things that I've been able to find was, what are the universal principles that all of the masters who run these workshops, and I'm talking about even factories, you know, that build automobiles, you know, what are the fundamental principles of what they mean by the word craftsmanship? And the first step out of three or four is called commitment. It basically says, if you are going to become skilled at this trade, at this craft, it requires the principle of commitment. You must absolutely say, I am going to put the time into the observation, study, practice, and improvement of this, which is the difficult learning and hurting part, to come out the other side with a set of skills that gradually improve. So here's the point. If you start one day at some place in your life, which you have done, and say, I am going to commit to become something, a masterpiece in the way you envision it, then what you're going to do in all the other areas of your life is going to follow in that, because you're setting everything up for that. If you don't commit to making your life a masterpiece incrementally over time, then you're going to do the, I'll try this out and see how it goes, and spend 3, 4, 5 years at, and you know, oh, that didn't work out, so I'll just go down over here. Man, you know, like you said, that river's going by. So you have to commit. Either your life is a masterpiece in the making, which you will become more skillful at over time and leave something of great work behind, or you're just going to fly along by the seat of your pants and, hey, that's okay. Ride the wave. Surf.
Ride the wave. Yeah. And if you're not careful, though, you may end up in a van down by the river.
There you go.
As the great SNL star used to say it. So final thoughts as we go out. Tell people where they can buy the book, what .coms they can go to, and how they can get to know you better.
Yeah, thanks. Once again, if you'd like to learn the bigger picture about the work that I'm doing, go to charlespaulcollins.com. And that'll show you kind of everything, little podcast episodes and videos and so forth and so on. Go to lifecraftingmasterclass.com and you will see the Udemy program now. Over 3,300 students have taken it in the last 2 years or so. So there's something going on out there. And if you go on to Amazon and look for Life Crafting Collection or look for My Life Curriculum directly, you'll see the first book that I did for my daughter 35 years ago. And that's where all the new books, including the one that I just wrote about my ancestors, which is a 85,000 word novel. So that'll be there too.
There you go. Thank you very much for coming on and give us your insight. And hopefully you made people think a whole lot more about crafting their life.
Thank you, Chris.
There you go. Guys, be sure to check it out. Watch for the new book to come out in the marketplace and all that good stuff. Life Crafting, A Way of Thinking, Working, and Living, A Master's Journal. I think it's too bad to, you don't have a conversation with kids that when they're young and go, hey, man, you're going to make a masterpiece with your life. Think about what you're doing now. And there you go.
Best thing.
Yeah, because you don't want to do it. You can do it when you're 50 or 40. I mean, a lot of people restart their lives and start over again. Hey, all the more power to you. There's so many great people that I think Oprah and a lot of different people, that they changed their life at 50. The guy from KFC created chicken. What kind of show is this? KFC chicken show. Chris is creating conspiracy theories on the show now. But there's a lot of people that get started late in life and decided to start crafting. And so it's never too late, I guess, is my message.
Never too late.
Thanks for tuning in. Go to goodreads.com, Fortress Chris Voss, LinkedIn.com, Fortress Chris Voss. Chris Voss, one on the TikTok and the other crazy place on the internet. Thanks for tuning in. Be good to each other. Stay safe. And we'll see you guys next time. And I should have a